Okay, so we are starting a new sermon series called Jesus Dojo, Practicing the Way of Jesus. A dojo, how many people are familiar with the idea of a dojo? A dojo is a place where you go and practice martial arts and you become proficient in doing martial arts. And so we, there's a guy named Mark Scandretti. He's out of the Bay Area and he did something called the Jesus Dojo and, you know, steal the best with pride. And so I thought it was a great idea. So the Jesus Dojo is basically we're going to be going through, I'm not sure how many steps, but we're going to lay out certain practices of following Jesus in his way. And then what we're going to do is at the end of each sermon, we're actually going to share a practice with you that you then are going to practice through the week, theoretically. And then next week, we're going to come together and anyone who practiced that thing is going to have a chance to be able to share with the rest of the congregation how that practice went. So let's just say evangelism, I'm sure everyone's favorite. We talk about evangelism, following Jesus in the way of sharing the gospel with other people. And then next week we get together and we're like, hey, I just went to Shasta College with the bullhorn and told everybody about Jesus. And it went great. It was awesome. You don't have to do the practices. I do want to put this out there. It's not, people aren't going to get gold stars for standing up and share what they practiced. If you don't want to practice, then hopefully Jesus teaches you something in that too. Like, I don't want to do this. And that's perfectly fine because you don't have to do anything. We would hope to encourage you to take steps in growing to become more Christ-like and giving you opportunities to do that in very practical ways. Okay, so the other thing is, too, we are having James preach. James, raise your hand. Here's the deal. Our church is committed to leadership development. That's something that I'm very passionate about. It doesn't really matter to me how big our church is. The idea of making disciples that make disciples is very important to me. When Jesus says, go therefore and make disciples, I take that very seriously. So James, I met James at Visions of the Cross. He's got 2 years under his belt. He said, hey, man, I really feel like I want to preach. And I said, great, that sounds excellent. Your life is going, you're doing great. And I want to give you the opportunity to do that. And so here's the thing. This is James's third sermon, okay? So we have to have, we disciple James. We're helping that whole process to happen. And so James's sermons, I don't even remember some of the first sermons I preached. And hopefully no one else does. Okay, because they're probably so bad. All I remember, I do remember, I'm going to share this real quick. I remember being in South Africa, and I was preaching a sermon at this church, and all I remember, I think I was literally just like hammering on this congregation about not being passionate enough for Christ. It is the one sermon that I remember that I'm like, I just hope I never see the tape of that. Because they looked, their eyes were like this wide open. And look, we want to give people the opportunity to grow in the things that they want to grow in. And so we practice. And so it's not always going to be the best. We're not professionals here and we're not trying to be professionals. We're trying to be open and honest with who we are with Christ. And James is going to come and share with us a message about the Jesus Dojo and communication. So I just want to share that because it's important for James and for us to know that we are part of the discipleship process with James. So James, why don't you come on up? Let's give it up for James. The only guy that preaches in a hat in this church, and his mom said to take his hat off.
Not gonna happen. I'm only 30 and I'm already balding. Good morning, everybody. My name is James. Today I'm starting off, this next sermon series, what will be known as the Jesus Dojo. Our longtime vets will be familiar with this series from a couple years ago, but there are going to be a couple of differences. One being me. I'm the difference. You guys should all be so lucky. This paper that I have here in front of me, it's my third attempt at writing this. Not because I wasn't communicating my points correctly to you, but because my ego kept getting in the way and I kept trying to write this in ways that I wanted to write it instead of how God obviously wanted me to write it. When I got up here for the very first time, I prayed with everybody here, saying that I hope everybody in here hears God through me and not with what I have to say. That continues to be my prayer every single time I'm up here. But again, there's something in me that just wants what I want to say come out. And that's not what my intentions here today. Some of you here know me, and some of you are starting to get to know me. And it is no secret that sometimes I can have a big head. Let me communicate that in a different way to you. I'm not saying that my head is abnormally large. What I am saying is that sometimes I can be a bit full of myself. In order for communication to be successful, normally you need at least two people to have a conversation. Mom, I know you'll be listening back to this later. That was not a dig towards you. Speaking of my mom, do you guys want to know what kind of kid I was growing up?
Sure.
Whatever my mom would have in her hands, coffee cup, cell phone, no matter what it was, I would wait for her to set it down. If it was on the coffee table, I'd move it to the kitchen table. Kitchen table to the coffee table. Or my expert level, I would take that to her bedroom dresser and then hurry back to wherever I was sitting and then just wait for the fun to unfold. After a few minutes of her just walking around looking bewildered, I wouldn't be able to contain myself and then would just laugh and laugh. The communication that followed afterwards is something that I cannot share in here. So if you're in here asking, how do I have a conversation with the living God himself? Don't worry, I'll share a couple of examples. With an audible voice, for starters. Now this is getting more and more rare. But is it? Is it actually getting rare? Or do we just lack the desire or the skill to hear his voice? But this is how God has spoken, and I believe he does still to this day. Adam and Eve, Moses in the burning bush. The reason that God speaks with an audible voice is to get somebody's full attention. This has never happened to me personally, but I'm not saying just because I haven't experienced it doesn't mean that it's not true. How small do you think that God is that you think that he cannot do what he has done before in the past? He does what he wants when he wants. He's sovereign. I know in this day and age, everybody wants things to be easily explainable. Fact. But because God is sovereign, he can say, I know you want that, but I don't have to do that. That's what it means. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. That's a little bit of the scripture backing up what I said. Another way God communicates is through signs and miracles. This is one that I was constantly asking for when I was growing up. If I was a believer or not, just give me a sign. Let me know that you're there. But even if he did answer, I wasn't in the right place to even hear it. I probably would have ignored him. If he were to walk into my bedroom, my very first thought would be, who hired you? Why are you here? My heart wasn't in the right place. I didn't know God. I knew of him, sure. At that time in my life, I was using God as a genie. Grant me my three wishes, please. The reason miracles need to come into 2024 is because the world is getting dimmer. But when we see the light, when our addictions dry up, when hands are laid on you in prayer and your pain is miraculously gone, is that not a miracle? When someone with a hard heart lays down his sins at the feet of our Lord and Savior and truly repents, is that not a miracle? God speaks through coincidence. Albert Einstein, very smart man, said coincidences are God's ways of remaining anonymous. Everyone in here has said, oh, what a coincidence. Oh my God, I had a dream last night about this very thing, and here it is right in front of me. Last October, I was praying over and over, asking God if people can see his work through me and what all he has done instead of hearing me. Was it a coincidence that I then heard from three different people in 1 week of exactly what I was praying for? Before I go any further, I keep hearing this. God told me to. God told me blank. In our last Wednesday's book study, book club, Mrs. McMasters had a very great point, which she's riddled with great points. She's an awesome person. Get to know her. She said, when you say, God told me to blank, what you're really doing is you're taking out any sort of community from it. Let me communicate that a little differently. I'm not saying do not follow what God is telling you to do. I'm just saying be careful with it, that's all. God speaks through his written word, the Bible. This is the main way that God uses to communicate with us. The problem is, if you do not open your Bible, then you are void of the main way that God uses to speak. There is time after time that I needed answers to the very problems that are happening in my daily life. That all I ever had to do was just read my Bible. The problem is I just don't want to sometimes. I can be mad as humanly possible, and when I open up that book, there are the very answers that I was looking for. There are absolutely days that I just want to watch TV and eat oatmeal cream pies. I don't want to get up. I've been laying on that couch for 45 minutes needing to pee. I'm not getting up to do that. I'm definitely not getting up to grab my Bible. Grab my Bible, open up Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, it doesn't matter. I just don't want to. But as soon as I open up that living word, the book starts to read you. The Bible's the only book that once you start to read it, it starts to read you back. Sometimes my attitude is just off. Like I said, I don't want to. But that is the moment right there where God grabs me, says, yes, right there, that's where I got you. Jesus said, the Spirit gives life, the flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life. It's the living word. To summarize a little of what Jesus was saying to the disciples, that if you let me go do the Father's work, then I will come back by sending you the Holy Spirit. And when he does, he's going to walk with you. He's going to talk with you. He's going to lead you into truth. This time of year, we're hearing a lot of different kinds of lies coming from all different kinds of angles. And the truth has never been more important than it is right now. God says that he's going to give his word through the Holy Spirit. It will be a specific word at a specific time for a specific need. If you guys are like me, this is the one that you're not going to like. God speaks through other people. I wish that wasn't true because I just want to judge them. I don't want to listen to them. But God definitely speaks through them. Especially that person who gets on your last nerve. The problem is, some of our enemies have been speaking more truth to us than our friends. I won't even take the time to listen to them to see if there's anything that God has to say in the midst of all of that. There could be the answers to the very prayer that we have been praying for. In the residential treatment program that I was in there with a guy, I won't name him. He was messy. He smelled funny. during every single class topic, he would interrupt. Did I mention he smelled funky? Yeah, that was very important. He and I didn't click on any level whatsoever. One day he interrupted me. Yeah, I know, how rude. He said, "You know, if you weren't so arrogant, you would probably be able to help some people in here, including you." Yeah, that got me. I didn't even have a response back to him because I knew he was right. It wasn't a coincidence that that very morning, the prayer that I kept asking God for, was answers on how to help myself or how to be someone who helps others instead of always being helped. God definitely spoke through him, whether I liked it or not. It stuck long enough for me to remember this to tell you guys about it. This was 2 years ago. God speaks through media. In Psalms 96:3, declare the glory among all nations. In today's times, how do things get to all nations? It's through the media, through social media, through the television. What I'm about to say, I fully believe with all of my heart. We've never been more fully positioned as the body of Christ to do the Great Commission, to go into the world and disciple the nations. So how can I do what God is keeping me, says that is keeping up with being a good steward, being the man or the woman of the house, or a leader? How can I do that while keeping up with my home? Unless there is a vehicle that God uses to spread that gospel while still being able to give your babies baths at the end of the day. How can I still be? God has given us a tool to speak through. Whether it's any of those social media platforms, whether it's just a phone call to somebody who you haven't spoken to in a while, somebody who you just want to share what your life has been going through. And oftentimes what I've found, it's the other way around. There's something about me that just invites other people to talk to me. I don't like it, but it's there. This right here is considered media. This microphone is amplifying my voice so our online listeners can hear me clearly and concisely. Last month, I was up here, and I had my Montana family up here. I had my sisters, my brother-in-law, my niece. These people had not stepped foot in a church, and I have no idea how long. Because of this microphone and what God is doing for me in my life, I'm confident in knowing that the Word of God is reaching some of those who this world has called the unreachable. God is doing something in their life, and they want to support their baby brother and to listen to what God has done for me and continues to do for me. And because of this recording, they're going to be able to listen. Maybe they're not at the point to where they find a home church. Maybe they're not at the point to even going onto a media site and looking up what the Word of God is. But because of what I am here today, what the Vineyard is allowing me to do here today, the unreachable are being reached. God speaks through our conscience. There are things that my body is about to do, and my conscience says, no! I was supposed to cover that better. Don't do it. My flesh is already decided, but that's when the Holy Spirit gives me a gentle nudge. Do not ignore the Holy Spirit when you get that gentle nudge into your conscience. But before we even get there, we have to learn how to recognize His voice. 1 Kings 19 says that He talks in a calm, small voice. Every Sunday, we take time and just sit in silence. We stop whatever it is we have going on. And we just sit. We're normalizing it. We're practicing hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit. It's hard to do at home. It's not hard to do because of our jobs or for our kids. A lot of times it's super hard just because we're trying to get the atmosphere right. Our candle isn't lit correctly. My mood music and the volume are off. When in reality, all God is doing is saying, sit down. I can't tell you how many times I've had to say that to my son. Just sit down. And that's exactly what he's telling us, his kids. Sit down. An easy way to start this practice at home is to just turn the radio off. Turn Facebook off. One of the most spiritual things I've done in the last 2 months is I've turned the notifications off on my phone. If somebody hits any of my social medias, I do not get a notification. What I was really doing, without me really knowing it, subconsciously, I was using my phone for an invitation for interruption. I could be having a conversation with God himself, and if my phone dings, guess where my eyes go? Immediately, that's my first priority. ...2024 has been a great year for me. Not financially, that's for sure. Not in health terms, God knows that. I have to hold my breath just to tie my shoes. It's not because I get so many likes and comments on my social media. It's because of spirituality. It took me having to sacrifice some things to get the best things. The best thing being a word from God. People in our Wednesday book club will already know this story, but I'm going to share just a little bit of it with you. I have such a problem with sitting in silence that when I'm in my room watching TV and I have to go to the bathroom, I will find something to listen to on YouTube for the 11-step walk to the bathroom. So me sitting and trying to practice being quiet and just sitting in silence is hard, but I got a result. I heard, stop calling me bro. Which is totally understandable. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He created the universe and he corrected me. Stop calling me bro. I remember one time Marshall called me James. He was about 5. He's 8 now. My head turned so fast, I thought I was gonna break my neck. I can only imagine that is exactly the same feeling that God was having when he corrected me. Unfortunately, Marshall is just like me, so he walked around the house for the next 2 hours. Can I have the remote to the TV, Father? Can we have grilled cheese for lunch, Father? Here's a couple of ideas for this next week on how you guys can practice having these sort of conversations, trying to communicate with God himself. It is homework, but it's the fun kind. When you guys come back, Sean did a great job breaking it down a lot better than what I could have done. Here are the ways that you communicate with God. Here are some examples of ways he might communicate with you and ways that you might communicate with him. Sitting in silence, reading the word. And this is one that I absolutely do not want to do, so I'm going to make sure this is the one that I actually do, is having conversations with other human beings, having that human contact, whether they're your friend or if they're your enemy, keeping time and space to hear if there is anything that needs to be said. Thank you.
Alrighty, well, thank you, James. I'm still upset that you look far more comfortable public speaking than I ever feel. So if you could just look a little more nervous, that would help me out. We're going to continue here with some time for communion. And so we do this following after Jesus' own footsteps and instructions. Just before his death and crucifixion, he was having one final meal with his disciples. And he reached across the table and picked up two very common elements that would have been present on a rich man's table or a poor man's table, just bread and fruit, bread and wine. And he began to associate these things with himself for their memory. He took the bread and he said, "This is my body, which will be broken for you." And he took the wine and said, "This is my blood, which will be shed for you. And when you partake of these things, do so in remembrance of me." And there's a great deal of discussion and exploration. Someday, if you have time, in the interest, read the history of the Eucharist, which is the high church word for this, and communion. A great deal of discussion and debate about just how present God is with us in this act. Certainly it's done as a memoriam, do this in remembrance of me. But it has long been held for thousands of years that there's something special and divine about this sacrament. And when we do this in remembrance of him, he is present. His spirit is present here with us in this. And he's doing something for us in this as well. So the way we do this as a church is we come down the center aisle, we take a cracker, we dip it in the wine and hang on to it. We'll go back to our seats around the outer aisles and wait until everybody has it. And then once everybody has it, we'll partake together as a church family. So please feel free to come to the table of the Lord. Father God, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, for the way that you communicated with us, the nature and the depth of your love for us through his life and through his death and through his resurrection, Father God. We pray that as we partake of this sacrament, we would come to know the reality, the tangibility of that love in our lives more and more, to come to know the way you love better. As James said, there are a lot of voices in the world right now, a lot of people trying to tell us a great deal about what is true, Father God, but help us to understand from you, Lord, the true nature of love as you intended it to be in this world and as you demonstrated it to us through your Son. In Jesus' name we pray these things, amen. All right, well, if you stand, we'll just pronounce a blessing over you and continue on with our day. Father God, I pray that you would go with these people, your sons and daughters. Help them to encounter and rightly discern your voice in the midst of all the voices of the world. When you speak to them directly, if by chance you speak to them audibly, but especially when you speak to them through the other people around them, perhaps even those people they regard as their enemies, Lord. Quicken and bring alive that part of their spirit that was made to recognize your voice. As Jesus himself said, "My sheep know my voice." Help us to know your voice in the world, God, to hear you, to stop, to be still, and to listen when you speak to us, and to respond boldly and with faith in the goodness of your word and your instruction. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.